I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. For as this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That hardly seems like the loving Jesus we know. And we have to understand that these recountings were an oral tradition, and they were written down many years, 50, 60, 70 years after the actual event. So this is what it was remembered from this parable. Today it's a parable about the last days. And this parable has been used and abused, and we often forget what's really there. It's been used and abused in our present day by something called the prosperity gospel, where it is said that if God loves you, you get more money, and if you don't, then God doesn't love you. And also has been used to support the idea that we should not give any money to the disadvantaged. This is an aberration. This is not the intention of the gospel. The gospel is about being gifted by God, both with talents that are imbued within us. And all of us have different gifts. All of us have different talents. And we're all called to use them. But some of us have issues that prevent us from actualizing everything we have. And we are called to get help. And I want to focus on the person with the one talent. That person was afraid. That person had a sense of being broken. They were afraid of the master. And they didn't recognize within themselves the talents that they had been given by God from the time of their conception. And therefore, because they were in turmoil in themselves, hid what they had. And that can be seen metaphorically in hiding the gifts that we have because we don't think we're good enough. But also hiding maybe what little treasure we have rather than taking a few risks because we are so afraid we don't want to take the risk. Being born is a risk. Everybody is born with a certain degree of trauma from going down the birth canal. Some overcome it and some get frozen and stay with it for a long time. And other things happen in their lives that compound it. A lot of people, as the sun in our northern hemisphere goes away, it seems to, the nights get longer, the days get shorter. We normally, some people go into some time of depression. There's a sense that life isn't as good as it could be. Or they're missing the summer. They're missing the spring. And there's all this sense of pain. A sense of brokenness. And then our fears get magnified. And we are living at a time when people are very phobic. There's all kinds of fear today. When I was a little kid, a long time ago now, I would walk a mile and a half to the bus. And I started doing that when I was 6. And I'd walk home at night. I didn't even bother with a flashlight. It was dark. The bus didn't get home to the bus let off place, the school bus, until about 4:30. And I would be home by 5. If I was much later than 5 o'clock, then Mom or Dad would come out and go looking for us. Didn't happen very often. It only happened once when an older girl thought it was smart and stuck me into a snowbank and I couldn't get out. But, you know, I'm here. But the fears that people have can break us. But it's not unknown to Jesus. Not further along in the scripture, we have the last days of Jesus. We have Jesus being on the cross And he is praying, God, take this cup from me. And God doesn't answer his prayer. He is answered by Jesus being crucified and dying. The end of the earthly Jesus. His body is broken in pain and sorrow. There is a darkness of that moment of the soul of Jesus, who had proclaimed God's love. And here it was, not there. And we have the darkness in this gospel reading for the one person who buried the talent. And we have to remember that. When you receive the sacrament this morning and receive the bread, when I give it to you and I break it, the body of Christ broken for you, think of the broken Jesus. And think of the brokenness that we sometimes have in ourselves. Sometimes our brokenness lasts a long time, and sometimes it passes by in a few days. But we all suffer brokenness in our lives by events around us, by family members, by discouragement, by job loss, by crisis that happened. We all have brokenness. The important thing to know is that God is a loving God. And our brokenness is not unknown. That God's love, as Jesus found out, overcomes brokenness. Overcomes brokenness. And that we have a sense of being resurrected if we trust in God even in the midst of our brokenness. And bring our brokenness to God in prayer, in meditation. And that there will be a dawning. There will be a light. It may not be exactly the way we thought it would be, but there will be light. There is love. And place our hope in God and in love. And make our actions in the midst of our brokenness not based in fear, not based in hopelessness, but in love, and using the power that God has given us in our brains to overcome our fear and to respond in love and openness and take risks in love. The slave who buried his talent did not take the risks in love because of conditions only known to that person. A fear of the master. But we have to remember that our master is God, and that God is a God of love. There's always a challenge when working with people. And when people are really distraught, I either ask or try to figure out by subtle questioning and deduction, is your God a God of love? Or is your God an angry God? And some folks have angry God is the center of their paradigm thinking about who is God. Angry God is a God that emerges with reading, poor reading, but reading of the Old Testament. The Jewish people were very smart. They always said that the Old Testament can only be written through the lens of Midrash. And Midrashic reading, and it's true today, that is interpreted by the rabbi, is interpreted by a code of Midrash, which is a long interpretation that is parallel to the Hebrew Bible. But unfortunately, Christians, when they adopted the Old Testament scripture, they did not understand Midrash. It's the same with Islam, actually. There's Islamic Midrash, which is the only way to read the Quran. But people who read the Quran cold don't get that. And we read the scripture, both the old and the new. We have to read it in a sense of understanding the interpretation. It's not literal. It is metaphor. It is spiritual metaphor. And so to use this scripture that we read today, the gospel, as a foundation for the prosperity gospel, is an aberration. What the real message is here is that God wants us to be open, wants us to take risks, wants us to be transparent, wants us to live our lives in a foundation of love. Because the love is the foundation of Jesus' understanding of God, which should be our understanding. As I've said before, the Word of God is not the Bible. The Word of God is Jesus. And so today, as we come into this dark season, which affects some of us really powerfully, I invite us to remember and to meditate and to put in the center, I follow a God of love. I follow a God that understands my pain. But I can bring my pain to God in meditation, and that my brokenness will be healed through love, and the light will come again, and I will be whole. For we are the Easter people, and we are a part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a compassionate community. And so if we don't have to feel alone, we can share with one another and be a part of the kingdom now. For we are not alone, we are loved. And as we receive the sacrament this morning, pay attention to the bread, the symbol of the broken body. That we all have broken bodies, but God loves us in our brokenness and brings us to wholeness through love. May God bless us all. Amen.